moment you've all been waiting for.
You what? Well,
that hit the spot.
Hi, guys, and welcome to episode 23 of The Gosscast. The Gosscast is sponsored by Ireland's leading fashion website, cravecloset.com, and happy bank holiday weekend, everybody. If you're looking for anything for festival season, obviously Forbidden Fruit is this weekend. Crave Closet have so many cool things on there, from play suits and dresses. If you're looking for a good festival outfit, definitely check out cravecloset.com.
Really, really excited about this one. I've wanted to have Roz Purcell in for this podcast since we launched it, so I'm so excited to have her in. We're having a really, really honest and open chat about everything from going to counselling to, obviously, Roz has been very open about her battle with an eating disorder and just speaking about what it was like to go through that and advice she has for young women growing up right now, looking at social media and, you know, valuing what's really important in life. So this is a very positive podcast, a very honest one, and I hope you enjoy it. We're here at Roz Purcell.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, yeah.
So glad to get you in.
I arrived with two dogs in tow, so apologies. Yes. Because I just arrived in and I was like, can you guys mind them? I just didn't want to leave Nell at home because she's only 10 weeks old.
Sorry, she's so cute.
She is so cute.
Like, so cute.
Yeah. But
our first puppies on the podcast. So we would have had them in here, but I can actually really hear them in the other room.
They are making so much noise. Wilk and her kill each other. So they have to be in another room. But it's definitely the way anyone out there who it's just maybe move to Dublin or Ireland, they're finding it hard to make friends, just get a puppy.
Really?
I have been stopped so many times today, people just wanting to get pictures with Nell and
really
rubber.
Stop.
And I'm like, I'm in a rush, you need to get it in my
way. No, see, I look at your puppies and I'm like, I would love a dog, but I'm always thinking, okay, I live in a small apartment, I don't have that much like area, like space around me. But then I'm looking at Nell and I'm like, she's actually really small. Like, I could
she's
have
tiny.
A dog like that. Yeah.
And, you know, I'm very lucky that where I live now, we have an outdoor area for Wilco. But saying that, he sits in the same spot every
all
single
the time.
Day.
Yeah.
You know, and he still waits for me to tell him to go outside. you could probably bring your dog to the office, so definitely do it.
Yeah,
it's
definitely
great.
Would.
It's a great support for anxiety or stressful times.
Yeah, I think so, big definitely. Time. And Wilco, I feel like, has become a part of your like social media channels as well.
like sometimes I'm in 10,
he's like a breakout star.
And people come up and they're like, can I get a photo? And I'm like, yeah, with Wilco.
With Wilco.
And I'm like taking a photo and they're like, oh my God, my sister or my girlfriend ever
loves Wilco. Oh
that
my God.
So funny, yeah.
Hilarious. See, I wanted to kind of, I suppose, go back to like the very start and like how you got into the industry. I don't know if you remember, but when I had my blog, do you remember this in like 2010? Yeah. Miss Red blog was called. I was working in Spin Southwest and I think I started chatting to you back then. You were just going for Miss Universe. Mm-hmm. So it's mad to think like then and now, like
I know,
that seems like a different world.
Like 11 or 12.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
so long
insane.
Ago. Yeah, like
so
I guess.
So crazy.
I never really had a plan to get into modeling or anything like that. And I guess when I started, I didn't take it too seriously, which is really good.
Did you
because
not? Okay.
I think a lot of people think that, you know, obviously I've talked about disordered eating. It came from modeling.
Yeah.
I really didn't. I never looked at modeling as a long-term thing anyway.
Okay.
So it wasn't that. It was definitely just from other issues. But I started modeling and I just looked at it as a way to like have the best crack, like,
and travel the world
and travel
as well, yeah.
And just meet new people. And I have to say, starting modeling, I was always very confident, but starting getting into Miss Universe definitely helped my confidence big time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I was listening to your podcast Bite Back, which is amazing. If you haven't listened
Thanks.
To it, go listen to it. And you were talking about how when you were in Miss Universe that like where you started modeling that you felt that you kind of didn't belong. And I remember seeing the photos of you back then and being like, oh my God, you looked like the perfect Miss Universe contestant. Like, you were Miss Universe. Like.
I guess in my head, it was, I think when I started modeling, I started to develop this thing that I was always a little bit bigger than anyone else. And
so crazy that you thought.
I think as well, I guess I never really was into it, so I'd always be like, I don't think I deserve it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, it obviously got worse and worse. And the longer I was in the industry, I think, you know, so I got a really turbulent relationship with my body and food. But and I said this before, I don't think it was the industry that caused it. I think the industry allowed me to normalize it.
That's so interesting to me, because I think a lot of people, what I loved about your podcast, I have to say, and me and Kendra were talking about it, is there's a lot of people that go through things and really... I'm not being negative, but a lot of people will like become the victim and that's it. And I feel like with you, you've really well-roundedly like I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but you've just dealt with it so well, because you're like, I did this. It's not the modeling industry. Like, you're taking the responsibility for how you acted, things you did. And I feel like that's when you know someone's actually got through it. Because when you constantly blame outside sort, you're still not fixing what's the problem, you know?
And like, I can look back now and like, I was definitely the hard, very hard to get along with. I wasn't a victim. Like, I was putting pressure on other people. Like, I wasn't very nice to be around. And you know what? Going through that, I guess, I've learned so much. I feel like, you know, I definitely feel a lot older than 28 in terms of
because you've gone through so much.
Yeah, like, I've gone through much, and I've been able to manage it and thankfully get over it. But I'm just looking, using my podcast and social media platform now to like help others not have to go through that phase. Yeah. You know?
And I think you're right. Like, there is a lot of like secrecy. And I still think even to this day, currently in this industry, there is people going through it and they're still not really being talked about.
100%,
and it's so scary because like, you're out there being really honest and there's still other people that I know like are going through this at the moment. And it's just like, I feel like the more it's talked about, hopefully the more people will be like, okay, maybe I should sort myself out. Like, this is actually a thing. It's not just me. It's not alone by myself dealing with this.
But I have to say, touching on that even when I was going through a really, really hard time, there was people, whether kind of more in traditional media, who would, you know, write articles or be on TV shows talking about it. But I always had this thing where I would say, I'm different. I won't be able to get out like she did.
Yeah.
I'm much more ingrained into this than that person was. Like, she obviously wasn't that bad if she's out the other side.
You just convinced yourself.
Yeah. And anyone I've spoken to who is kind of going through it at the moment, whether that's, you know, at events, they come up to me, they all can relate to that feeling of that they're different. Their disorder is different and it won't be cured. Mm. And I was the exact same. So I think there's a lot of people out there who don't believe it's going to work for them because they're so bad. But I think you have to remember that it's everyone felt like that.
Yeah, at
different stages. So that there is a way out. And, you know, a lot of people in the industry say to me, like, how do you, you know, when you see other people who, you know, online aren't, you know, they're still showing this picture perfect life and they're not embracing kind of, you know, a little bit of
their
reality.
Flaws and
and to be honest with you, like, I never judge them. I'd never be like, oh God, you know, they're bad influence or anything. It's more like I actually feel quite sorry for them because I know what it's like to feel like you need to validate yourself.
Mm. And getting those likes in a bad
way. And to live up to this picture perfect thing. So I understand what it's like. It's actually a very hard place to be. So I just feel sorry for them. And like sometimes, and like, it's not my place to go over and like have a chat with them. You know, like, it's not my place at all.
Yeah.
But I guess, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think everyone just learns it at different stages of their life.
And I think the tide is changing on social. I think people are actually getting more likes and more followers based on actually being real now. It's very different to the way I think it was when Instagram began, whereas I felt like it was the opposite then. You know, it was like the prettier and skinnier you were, you got more followers. I think there's definitely been a change. People are looking for honesty, like followers, like everyday people. They want to feel like they're not alone and they're represented in the world. So I think it's hard when they go on and they see top models who look like they're size 6 and they don't look like they've stretch marks, they don't look like they've wrinkles, and they're like, oh my God, what am I doing wrong? So I think it's good to have things normalized now a bit, you know.
I think people are understanding that they're actually in control of social media, they're in control of who they follow. So I think people are definitely learning to follow people who are relatable to them, and people, when they go off their phone, they feel good about themselves, not feeling bad. So I think in general, I think it's how we're using social media has changed. And like, you can look at it like some people, when they're being more real or whatever, they get more followers. But I think the people who are actually living that way, they're not obsessed with numbers.
Yeah, they're not doing it for the followers.
Like, I definitely went through a period where I felt so much pressure being online, and like that pressure or keep building a profile and getting followers and stuff, because obviously, you know, for jobs, everything is about numbers.
Yeah, it's so true.
And that's why I always say it. I had to remember, if I put as much energy as I did into that, into my personal life,
you'd be a different person.
My life offline, I wouldn't need to worry about what was going
on
online. So I definitely put that energy now into like fostering good relationships and putting energy into actually things, assets.
Yeah.
There's so many amazing bloggers out there who have forgotten to update their blogs because they just put it on social media now. Like, what if social media dies tomorrow?
I know.
Like, you had such a brilliant platform. You had a website that you created.
They're all gone.
That was
there,
so informative. And you've just not
let
bothered
it
with it because Instagram was easier. And like, I love Instagram.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I think it's a fantastic free way to promote yourself. And you know, for businesses, it's
brilliant.
But we just need to understand that we're using it in a positive way.
And it scares the life out of me to think of like 15, 14 year old girls right now. I just don't know how I would be as a person if I had grown up in this age. Not even just Instagram, like Tinder, like this whole validation of being swiped or being liked or being not. Like, I'm a 29 year old and I even feel like I need validation sometimes. Yeah. So I'm like, what are these young girls thinking? Like, how are they going to grow into adulthood with like a normal view of themselves? I just don't know. Like,
and I guess, you know, that Black Mirror episode where
Yeah,
and that episode where, you know, everything's
they're rating each other, yeah, and everything.
Basically, your self-worth is equal to your social media reviews in your life. Yeah. And unfortunately, that is something that is happening.
Like, yeah,
like sometimes crazy. I go to different press trips or whatever and I feel like I'm in Black Mirror because people come up to me and they say, oh, what's your Instagram?
Yeah.
And they'll type it in and go, oh, if you have more followers than them, they'll want to be your friend. If you don't, that it's crazy.
Or they're like standing there and they're expecting you to follow them back, like as in this is like a transaction now, like let's follow
and
each other.
You know what? I think I'm thankfully now in a space where I just understand that that's really not a good way to live life.
Like,
you weren't born to please people, get likes and die.
Yeah.
You're born to live your life.
Yeah,
and
so
you can't live your life online.
Yeah.
You can pretend you're living your life online,
yeah,
but you can't live it there.
And anyone who has those picturesque lives, whatever, and you actually talk to them, none of them are actually happy. Like,
no.
I have yet to meet someone who has an amazing Instagram that genuinely every day wakes up and they're like really happy with where their life is. So it's such a lie, you know?
Yeah.
It is.
And I guess, like, you know, I think we all appreciate picture perfect moments. It's human nature to obviously put up the, you know, best photo of yourself,
yeah,
or, you know, and I love a good scenic shot of like a travel shot.
You're very good at the travel shots.
Yeah,
I love your travel shots.
And
yeah,
I think that's a part, like, I actually quite love, I love
photography.
Yeah. But I think just being able to be aware that that was a moment of the day.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the whole day.
Yeah.
And I think, I know a lot of people say it online now, they're like, oh, this is the highlight reel, whatever, but you can't say it enough for younger people, because
yeah,
they really need to understand that.
Yeah,
like, if you and I were in the industry, we know what it's really like.
Yeah.
And we get affected by it, like younger kids.
That's
it must be awful.
And the thing, I was talking to Kendra about it before I came in here, and I was like, it's so funny, like, she would say, like, she sees someone that's like really stunning on Instagram and she'd be a bit like, oh, she needs to take a minute. But I'm so funny, like, I see someone and I'm immediately like, oh, that's photoshopped. I don't really get affected that much because I'm immediately like, that's probably fake, in a good way. I just don't really, maybe that's bad, maybe people genuinely do look like that, but I look at something and I'm like, right, that background has been like intensified using this app, and that body is definitely not her body. I just see things like that all the time.
I guess
now.
When I, well, firstly, I only follow people that are really relatable.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I do follow some people that have a gorgeous aesthetic profile,
yeah,
because I am, as I said, really into photography. So
yeah,
I do kind of like that look as well. But I think I'm at the stage where I can look at someone and be like, oh my God, she is stunning,
yeah,
like aesthetically beautiful. But that's cool because, like, I'm really happy with who I am.
Exactly, yeah.
That I
and
don't
the thing,
have
we don't
to, like,
know if that girl is happy though either.
Yeah, but I guess I,
that's the
you
thing,
know, I went through a phase where I used to look at those things and be like, I bet you she's not happy, or,
yeah,
you know, all this, where I'm at the stage and I'm like, I don't really care. It's not
you
my life.
Think, yeah, yeah.
And I think there's a kind of fine line between, like, I think a lot of times, in, you know, and I think it happened a lot last year, whereas sometimes to make yourself feel better, you put down someone else.
Mm.
And I guess I really have to try, and you know, it's human nature to do that,
to
like
just automatically.
So
yeah,
I think I really have to try for myself that, like, you can't do that. Like, you know, you'd be your number one fan, but like,
yeah,
by putting someone else in doesn't actually do anything for you.
No,
so
yeah,
I definitely am at a stage now where I'm like, I'm so happy and confident in myself that I kind of just focus on me. I don't really focus on anyone else.
Yeah.
And I totally appreciate a good looking woman.
I'm yeah,
like, high five. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's great. Good for you.
No, I do too. But I remember when the Victoria's Secret fashion show was coming up, and I remember there was like so many debates going on, and I remember seeing some of the girls and I actually had to unfollow them because I was like, no, like, someone's going to die. Like, and then I thought they looked so sick. So there are times where I'm a bit like, okay, this is like pushing it too far. So like, and I think a lot of people have been talking about the Victoria's Secret fashion show since last year, and
yeah,
I don't know if you saw Love Island, there was kind of a big debate about like the sizes of people. Did you see that this week?
No, I actually didn't see that.
So all the Love Island girls and guys come in, and obviously they're always right, like, you
yeah,
know, but people were giving out that there was no one in there that I guess was like over a size 12,
mm-hmm,
for a girl, but there's one girl in there that is like a size 12, and they, someone wrote it that like it was like Love Island's first plus size model, like she's in no way plus
yeah,
size, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And it kind of struck a debate, and everyone was talking about it on Twitter this week, kind of like, should they have people like a different size? Like, it's crazy that it's even a debate, like,
but
it's
this
mad.
Is the thing, you know, so last year Now I've stopped watching Love Island. I swear I'm not going to watch it this year. Like, it is like such a waste of time. But it's so good.
It's every single evening.
It is such a waste of time. But last year they had Jack on. And yes, everyone was high-fiving him because they were like, you're so confident. You're the only one in here without a six-pack or whatever. But if a girl comes in, they're like, oh.
Yeah.
You know? And I think as a society, we like have such different standards for men
so
and women.
So crazy, isn't it?
And
yeah.
Women have just been bred to feel like we have to fit into this A-type woman. For who?
And I actually saw a thing yesterday because I'm like obsessed with Marilyn Monroe, so things of hers always come up on my Instagram.
And like, she is such, like, if you look back then,
she was like a size 16, wasn't she? And there was a photo of her like in a bikini on a chair, so she was kind of bent over and you can see like she has a little tummy roll, her arm is up, there's a bit of flab, and it was like this Instagram post being like, you know, at this time, you know, Marilyn Monroe was one of the most, it was the most beautiful woman in the world at the time, and they like listed out all her measurements and I was like, fuck, that's so crazy. And this is one of the reasons I actually really like the Kardashians. I know, whatever, there's a lot of things I don't agree with, but I actually like that they kind of brought curves back for a while. They kind of were the first people to have big asses. Like, now I don't agree with the way Khloe and all them are promoting those shakes, but visually to see them, they were the first kind of celebrities I felt that I started coming onto TV that weren't like Kate Moss.
Yeah, but I think so always in society, like, we love a good drastic measure. So it went from being like absolutely rake thin and like, you know, Kate Moss's famous thing, like, well, I'd rather be skinny than I don't know, something not.
No, Victoria, wasn't there one Victoria Beckham quote, I think it's something like, the most delicious thing is like being skinny. I was like, no.
But I think you come to now and it's the Kardashians and I'm like, that's a completely other side of the realm, unrealistic, because it's like this big bum, this tiny, tiny, tiny waist,
huge lips,
and then like skinny legs, fillers, skinny arms, and big voluptuous boobs, and I'm like, wow. That went from being like, you know like unrealistic, but now it's gone to like
the other side,
surgery, like,
yeah,
you know,
no, literally, yeah.
So I think for females, and especially anyone out there who's young girls growing up, like, make sure that their role models are, you know, real women.
Yeah,
you know,
it's hard to find.
Not saying the Kardashians aren't real women, like, I do love them too, and like,
but they're unattainable,
like,
in a lot of ways.
But,
yeah,
you know, as well as that, like, they probably have chefs and personal trainers,
of course,
and like, all these different things, like, you know, and you can't be like, I work out the same as Kim and eat the same as Kim, but I don't have a figure. We're all born differently.
Yeah,
you know,
no, exactly. Do you follow that girl Jameel?
Love her.
And I love how she's kind of been calling out the industry. Like, those shakes drive me nuts.
Yeah. But you know what? If it wasn't for her, I think everyone probably would have just been like, oh, there's another one, whatever. And I guess I'm at a stage where, look, I've done every yo-yo diet there is out there, that I'm able to go, okay, like, I'm obviously not going to do that. But you forget that there is a huge population who actually believe that they're doing
it. No, they genuinely think that they're just like having these shakes every day. And like, I know some people do shakes before they like start a diet. I think things have their place in certain ways, but it's not a way to live your life and just start doing. Like, I did years ago juice diets and stuff. Like, now I'm like, what the hell? Like, I know they're healthy, in inverted commas, but I literally ended up in hospital one time when I was doing it. Yeah, because I'm diabetic, so it's very complicated.
Okay.
And my body started changing when I used to always like be a size 8, like really slim. And then I got diabetes when I was like 17. And you have this thing called like a honeymoon period where it doesn't really affect you. So I had that, and then out of nowhere, bam, like I literally gained 2 stone. It's still now, like, I struggle with it a lot, but I just went nuts and I was like, right, I'm gonna go on this juice cleanse. I went on, like, and you know when diets put you into ketosis, so like, that's what actually kills people with diabetes. Like, I did not realize this.
So you could never do like ketogenic.
Never. I literally nearly died. Like, that's literally what happened. And they were like, what were you doing? Like, they were trying to figure out what happened. And I was like, I was on a juice diet. And literally, like, all the doctors, my mom was in the room, everyone was just like, for fuck's sake. And I was like, I just wanted to, I obviously knew there was dangers, but I didn't care. You know, like, I was like, I just really wanted to lose the weight. Like, you know,
I've been in positions where I'm like, I don't care what it takes to be skinny. And
you just,
you know,
do it.
That's how, like, I was so, so bad in my early 20s. And I think when you get older, you're able to look back and reflection and be like, oh my God, it was
like
so irrational,
was it?
You know?
Yeah.
But it's just scary because there's so many young people who are yet to go through everything.
Isn't it terrifying?
And you're like, God, it's going to be even magnified even more with social media.
And you know what I find so mad? Like, when I was listening to your podcast, I was remembering the time you came back from New York. Because I think that was the time I properly met you, because we'd like spoken online, but I hadn't really met. And I don't know if you remember this. We were both at this thing in whatever Farrier and Draper was called at the time. It was like a jean launch. And I remember I'd met you outside and I was like, oh my God, we must get a picture because I've never met you. And we took this photo and I literally looked at it and I was like, oh my God, I'm never posting that. I thought I looked like disgusting. I was like, never going up. So when you were talking about that time in your life that you were feeling that way about yourself, I literally was like, that is, it's just so funny that both of us in different ways I was thinking you were like the most beautiful person in the world. I'm not putting up this photo. And then you're inside going like, I'm not good enough.
And I probably would, crazy. If you had shown me that photo, I would have been probably like, oh my God, don't put that up. You know,
isn't that just crazy?
Yeah, like? And I think there's so much to be said for actually just talking about it.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what I just did. And like, that's what the first episode of my podcast was, my journey. Because I think it's all about people being able to share their journeys and understanding that there is a way out. You don't have to feel stuck. And there's so many people who want to help and listen.
Yeah. And how has the response been so far? Has it been really good?
Really good. And obviously, like, comes with that are people sending me their stories
personally. Imagine.
And, you know, it's always very difficult because, like, that's why I have experts on my podcast. Like, I have psychologists and nutritionists and stuff, because I'm not, like, how I got over it is going to be a completely different way to someone else getting over it. So all I can really do is tell people what worked for me. And that's obviously, you know, going to experts was really the thing. And, you know, I have my episode coming out. My second one is with this girl called Kimberly Wilson. And she is food and psych on Instagram. But she's a psychologist and she talks about nutrition as well. So she actually thinks the best thing for people to do when they're ready to go get help is actually to form a team.
Really?
So you should be, and she just says, like, going to obviously counselling, but also going to nutritionist or dietitian at the same time. And that is actually what I did.
So having someone in kind of each area to tackle.
Yeah, because the thing about it is, usually eating disorders actually have nothing to do with food. It's something completely else. Just food is the only thing you can control.
It's so control.
So going, I think, going to a counsellor and understanding where that was coming from, but then also going to nutritionist, and it stopped my fear of certain foods.
Yeah.
I'd built up such a bad stigma around carbs or, you know, eating past certain times and all these rules that we are told.
Yeah.
That, you know, all these myths. Like, so that really helped me kind of.
Is there any myths you can debust like right now? Is there something like, just be like, don't eat after a certain time? Like, does that actually, is that a thing?
Well, like, like the thing of it is, obviously everyone's different, but like, what people just, I don't know how people still don't really get this, where they're like, I want to lose weight, so I'm going to go on the paleo diet, or I'm going to go ketogenic, or I'm going to do this or that. And I'm like, so you're going to cut out a food group to lose weight, when all you have to do is understand your macros and be in a calorie deficit.
Yeah.
It's honestly so simple.
It's just a pure lack of understanding then in some ways.
Yeah, and I think people don't want to understand it because they want to take an easy route. They're like, oh, it's easier in my head if I just cancel out one type of food or cancel out a food group, because then I don't need to think about my meals, I'm just eating what I want. And they're like, why am I not, you know, losing weight on ketogenic or whatever? And I'm like, but you're probably just not aware of what you're eating, you know. And I suppose I can come from a background where I needed to put on weight and understand that putting on weight was okay, even though society tells us putting on weight is a bad thing and being able to talk about how, you know, weight loss as well, because a lot of people do, like, obviously I have a food blog and I don't talk about weight loss. My food is just kind of tasty food, you know. I don't really get too deep into it. And obviously coming like from personal trainer background, that I understand that people are on the other spectrum to me, that they do want to, you know, lose a bit of weight and be healthy. But I think that the really important thing is, before you start, that you understand why you're doing it. Like, and even looking at training in a different way. Like, I used to always look at training as a thing just to make myself smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, oh, I just look at training to get stronger and
healthy. Strong and fit.
And like, I enjoy it so much more now. And obviously there's a side effect that it does tone your body or whatever.
And then did you, because when I think about kind of when you started leaving modeling and you launched Natural Born Feeder and everything, did you make a very conscious decision to kind of make yourself love food and throw yourself into like food as your whole life? Because it kind of was such a drastic change. It's like, obviously now looking back, it makes sense to me why you did it. But were you like, right, I'm going to understand everything about it, and then you kind of fell in love with it and you wanted to share it?
No, so I think when I started Natural Born Feeder, I was still really, really bad.
Okay.
It was like peak disordered eating. Yeah.
I never would have thought that at the time. That's mad.
Yeah, and I think like I hid it so well from people because I just felt that pressure to hide it and be like, oh, I'm this person who can eat all these things, and like,
it's like the perfect cover, as messed up as that sounds, but like, it was.
And
like,
and I really feel like going through disordered eating and like taking it out on food made me realize that food was actually my passion.
Okay, yeah.
So I was always into food growing up, like, and always big into cooking and baking. So I obviously stopped that when I was modeling.
Okay, yeah.
And starting a food blog was kind of my way of trying to get over it, but I wasn't over it.
Yeah.
And I think developing a community around Natural Born Feeder made me realise that I couldn't be a hypocrite. I needed to get my shit together. And that was kind of... So I think starting the blog, realising that it was my true passion, led me to realise that I really need to get help, along with other things. Like my sister got diagnosed with cancer. So I realised... Oh my God, like I spend all this time hating my body when my body is actually the fighting a battle for me every single day. Yeah. And it doesn't fucking matter if you're what size you're. If you're healthy, that's the only thing.
If you're alive,
that,
like,
that is, you know, a priority. So, you know, obviously, if there was a few, there's like a few things that came together and it was kind of my catalyst to go get help. But yeah, like I look back now and I'm like, I don't know what to say because like, and I'm being honest with people, like I definitely sold a lie like about myself that... I felt so much pressure to be this perfect image, an image that I portrayed.
Yeah.
But I think how I was framed even like from press was like this kind of, you know, girl next door and, you know, she
country
can bake,
girl.
She can do all these different things. Yeah. She's good at sports. And
yeah.
I felt like the pressure to live up to that. So when I was kind of going, getting help, the idea of me changing that image was
so scary.
It was the biggest fear for me. And it was strange sitting down with counsellors and, you know, them probably not knowing much about me and me being like, oh,
you're like, I have this image.
Yeah, I have this fear. Like, people don't really know the real me. Like, I'm not like a stick thin girl who can do all this. Like, I'm actually just like, I'm just not like that at all. Yeah. You know, and naturally I'm quite athletic and stuff. And they were like, your biggest fear is what other people think.
A lot of people have that though, and I'm the same as well. But it's funny because I remember when you shared that photo a couple of weeks ago, I actually remember that photo so well because I don't even know if you even would think this, but at the time when you posted that, like, so many people in the media were like, oh my God, like, does she have an eating disorder? And I remember we all were like, maybe it's just a photo, and like, no one really said, like, that's our bad too, no one really said anything. I'm nearly sure it was published in the newspaper I was working at the time, not in a bad way, as in like, oh, Roz stuns and blah blah, but I remember being a bit like uncomfortable about it, I think, and I was like, there's definitely been a change because it was so drastic. That was when you'd come back, and I remember in the space of a couple of weeks,
I feel like it was weeks, you lost like a stone
and I was like, oh my God, it was so different. But a lot of people kind of spotted it, saw it, and like didn't say anything.
Yeah, I guess. And like, I even remember like going on radio the next day when that photo came out. I can't remember who I was on with, but like, they brought me on to like defend myself.
Okay.
And they were like, I know Roz, she's really sporty, she just trains loads. And I was like, yeah, no, I just train loads, like I eat whatever I want. And I really honestly thought that I was overeating
at that time.
Yeah, at that time I always kind of thought that like I could have been better, and like I was probably living off like 700 or 800 calories and training twice
a day.
And I honestly thought that like I'm eating, so I don't have a problem. And even like, I would kind of still have binges. So I kind of went through a period then of like binging and purging before it got really bad. And then I kind of stopped binging. So I felt like I had this really good control. And I think a lot, anyone who's kind of suffered a bit of disordered eating understands that like, it's like you have this like, you feel so good about yourself when you're in that really good control. You're like, I have control over things. So yeah, it just kind of... And at the time, if someone came up to me and said, oh, look, I'm worried, are you okay? Because obviously my family did, because they could also see that I wasn't eating when I was at home. Or when we were, or I'd be binging if I was at home. Or if we were on holidays, I'd get really uncomfortable around mealtimes and not go. And obviously, if anyone confronted me, I would just tell them what they wanted to hear.
Really?
Yeah, it was like, I was honestly a different person. It's like someone else took me over for like 5 years. And then I just came back and I was like, whoa.
You know? But like, I think... You forget how young you were as well then, because at that time, again, when you came back from New York, I remember you were telling me about, you know, people coming out and measuring you with actual measuring tapes. And I remember being like, oh my God, that's so crazy.
And like,
but like, you were so young when that was happening as
well. Yeah, I was. And you know what? The only thing in New York, I never felt like I deprived myself in New York. You know, I was definitely like not eating that much, and I was Googling all those diets. You know, like, there was this, obviously the Atkins diet was like,
it was
so
huge at the
then.
Time. Yeah.
And I was like getting up in the morning and running and stuff. But I don't think I was doing it with the intention to be like stick thin. I was just doing it to be like, oh, they want my number smaller. Jeez, I'll get them smaller. Like,
okay.
I don't think like I had
the mentality issues yet.
Yeah, I saw myself and I knew what I looked like.
Okay. Yeah.
And then it was when I got back, I think I felt like such a failure because I wasn't going away again. And I made the decision not to model abroad again because...
Yeah, no, I remember that,
Because
and you were in phase 3-2 then. I think that all happened around that time,
And I think I just kind of decided I was just... I knew I wasn't like built for it. And I thought I was okay with it, but that's when it really started. So it was like when I got back from traveling abroad and I had like a few months at home, that's when it really, really like went bad.
And it's so bad. Like, I think a lot of people that suffer from, maybe it's disorders or depression or anxiety, a lot of the issues I found from talking to people is to do with their identity. So even with me, like, I'll be totally honest, like, I always think goss is my identity. So I'm like, if I didn't have goss tomorrow, I'd be no one. And it's a stupid way to think, but that's how I think all the time. So I can only imagine when you were like model, you were in the press, it was like you were over in Trump's agency, blah, blah, and then all of a sudden you decide not to do that anymore.
Yeah. And I think it was one of those things where, and you said it right there, when I was going getting help, I felt like I would lose my identity if I lost my control.
Yeah.
So when I would be going into counsellors and, you know, they'd be trying to explain that I needed to like just embrace chaos a bit and like I couldn't be controlling everything, I wouldn't. Like I remember being like, oh, I'll go, because obviously everyone around me, close to me, wanted me to go get help. And I kind of was just going to tick a box at the start because I was like, oh, I don't want to lose that control because I'll be losing my identity. And I realized once I let go of that control, like it took a long time for me to manage it and, you know, loads of sessions of CBT, I realized that once I let go of that control, I found my identity.
Okay, yeah. That's actually what everyone wants to find in life.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you're so well grounded at the moment. Like, you can tell, like, you've done so much work on yourself, and it is really brave to even make the first step. Like, there's so many people that end up like down really bad roads because they don't actually get the help, whether that's eating or like drugs or like just going down dark paths because they actually can't help themselves. And it takes such hard work, and it is work. Going to counseling is work.
It's work, and it's, you don't want,
so
it,
horrible, like, sometimes. Like, I've gone for years and like sometimes I'm literally like, why the fuck am I going in here? I'm just gonna end up bawling my eyes, I don't want to go. But then like weeks down the line, I'm like, I'm so glad like that I did all those sessions.
And it's funny, coming out of a counseling session, you might come in and go, what, I didn't sort out anything there, that was such a, that error went too fast. And but then it's, I think later on, you're on reflection, you go, okay, I think even just being able to talk to a stranger about,
and that's what it is. Really, I actually just started psychotherapy. Jeez, I'm divulging it all today, which I've never done before. I've always done counselling, and I was kind of like, what's the difference? I literally was like, what is this? You know, I want to know, like, what's the difference? And she was like, oh, I'm a psychoanalysis. I'm like, blah, blah. So by when the time the hour was up, I did feel like, oh, this kind of, it's more about understanding situations and understanding things. And I'd be quite open. Like, I would tell people that I go to counselling or that I go into psychotherapy. And I'm like,
everyone should talk about it, because I'm also surprised when I say, you know, and even to the family or whatever, like, oh yeah, I'm seeing counsellor. Like last year I went back and I was seeing a counsellor and they're like, oh God, okay. And is everything okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm just making sure that everything
stays okay. Yeah.
Because I can feel that I'm getting really anxious.
Yeah.
And I'm just getting to it before
it becomes a problem again. And that's, I saw that it was last year, Colin Farrell, he checked back into rehab and everyone was like, oh my God, what's going on, blah, blah. And he was like, no, like, nothing happened, but I felt myself going down that road. And he was like, I wanted to go before it happened. And he went away for like 2 months or whatever. And people were kind of confused. And I was like, no, like, fair play. Like, why would you wait for something bad to happen again and then go after something terrible has happened?
Yeah.
Like, why not go? Even I find with counseling, sometimes you're having a good week, you're like, oh, will I bother? But like, no, it's like training in the gym. So like, you have to keep doing it.
Because there's so many times at the start, because I started going to CBT when I was like about 24. And there were so many times where I'd get on a good roll and I'm like, oh, they cured me, I'm fine. I'm fine, everything's fine.
And that's like the worst
and
mistake, though.
Then you, like, you're just like, it's like, no. And I definitely have learned that lesson. Like, even last year, I kind of was like, oh, I think I was just going through, like, you know, I was just down for a while. Like, it's fine, probably hormones, you know, blame. I think women would blame so much
everything,
hormones.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, even though you're fine, you have to go back. And I'd say, she was like, who is this girl? I come in 1 week and I'm like crying, telling her. And the next thing, I'm like, hi,
hey, how are things?
Like, so you want to, no, I actually feel fine.
You're like,
and
I'm
she's
good.
Like, right.
What is CBT, just to explain it to people who maybe don't know it?
It's cognitive behavioral therapy.
Yeah.
And the reason I chose that was because I think I was very aware that it was my mind in a battle with myself, you know, and my behavior, I kind of got it because obviously my family would tell me and people around me that I had changed my behaviors.
Okay, yeah. So that was the key word for you, behavior,
yeah,
all the
and
time.
I think,
yeah.
So I think probably someone suggested that, you know, CBT probably would be a good place to start.
Yeah.
I think trying that out, and I've tried loads of things. I've gone to like hypnosis. I've tried loads of different types.
Yeah.
But for me, CBT, and obviously, like, it depends who you go to. Like, I've been to probably 5 or 6 different people. So I started with someone when I was about 24, And I actually think now looking back, he was probably the best. But I was so resilient.
At the time, yeah.
At the time,
yeah.
I didn't want to change. I was just going to tick a box that I was so stubborn and I didn't want to. I honestly thought that he was going to make me love myself too much that I'd lose control.
Okay.
Seriously.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I know it sounds so crazy, but anyone who's been in that kind of disordered eating, you don't almost want someone to heal you, because then my thing of failure was putting on weight.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't want to be in a happy place where you would put on weight. Yeah.
And this sounds really stupid and silly, I know, but if I'm just being honest, like, that's genuinely how messed up I was in my head. So I went to him, and then I think I tried hypnosis that year as well.
How did you find that, out of interest?
Oh, to be honest with you, I don't think it really worked, but I was really resilient to it. So I don't think I ever went into someone with
open-minded.
The true story.
Okay.
Do you get me?
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of went in like, I'm fine. I'm grand. I'm just here because, you know,
my family want me to be here.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
yeah.
And I think a lot of people who have been counseling might get that as your defense mechanism as soon as you go in. And then I've been... Then I kind of went to a guy and he was like so mean. And it's so funny because obviously he's not like that with everyone. But I guess when you go into a counselor or a psychologist that they deal with everyone in different ways.
Mm-hmm,
and he was real tough love.
And it
really, really helped, because I think I realized
you
that
needed
like,
that at the time.
I needed that at the time. And
yeah.
I needed someone to go, your behavior is not okay.
Yeah.
And I understood that I wasn't a nice person to be around. I was so negative with myself. Like, how would anyone expect to, you know, be in a relationship with me or anything? Because I was so...
Like, snappy and just...
No, I don't mean snappy. Like, I'm sure there was times I was snappy and I still am snappy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just mean I was so... I had no self-worth that I just was... I wasn't really there. Do you get me? I had no energy to give to anyone else because I was such an internal battle with myself.
And everyone always says, you know, like, you don't really find the perfect relationship or the perfect person until you properly love yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, like, how is someone going to love
you?
You
know,
like,
what?
How?
People say that and you'd be like, cliche. Whatever.
I used to always think it's cliche too, but I'm kind of like, maybe that's
that
true.
Is so true.
Yeah.
Because I think you become very reassured in yourself. And that's a huge part of a relationship. You know, I think insecurity... If you've any way you don't love yourself, you're going to be insecure in a relationship.
Yeah.
You're going to feel like you don't deserve it.
Yeah. Which attracts the wrong kind of people and stuff as well.
Yeah. And I think like being able to like be in a relationship and feel loved and go, I deserve that, is a huge thing.
Yeah.
And I think as Irish people, we have this really bad stigma around being confident as
totally
cocky or whatever.
Agree with you.
Like, you have to be your biggest fan.
Yeah.
You have to.
That's the thing I find so bizarre. And I feel like it's a very Irish trait. I don't really see this anywhere else. But this whole idea of like feeling good about yourself or feeling, you know, like I deserve this, I deserve that. That's seen as being like up your own hole. Like that's not like respected. It's
what? If for example, if someone a female won an award in Ireland and went up on stage and went, thank you, I actually really deserve this. People would go, what the hell? They'd be
like
oh
think
my
she
God,
is.
Who does she think she is?
Yeah.
And like,
so true.
What is wrong with that?
I know,
if
you
worked
so hard
for something,
why not say you deserve
it?
Yeah, no, you're dead right. And it's definitely a female thing as well, I think. I think if a man said something like that, you'd be like, oh, fair play to him. Do you know?
You'd be like, oh, he's gas.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Where it's a girl, it's like, right, she needs to be taken down a peg or two.
Yeah.
Like, it's mad.
And like, you know, if someone compliments us, we kind of tend to always put it down a notch.
Yeah, we're never and like, yeah, no, I do look fab. You're like, oh, look, no, I
you
don't.
You know what? That's our society. Like, that's us as Irish people. That's grand. But you need to understand in your own head when someone gives you a compliment or if no one's giving you a compliment, that you're able to give it to yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And that's like the most difficult thing I think people struggle with.
And you're not being cocky. You're actually just being nice to yourself and there's nothing wrong
with that. This is what I hated last year, you know, when there was loads of negative kind of accounts going around on Instagram and stuff. I was like, the inner struggle every day for people to be nice to themselves anyway. I was like, why do we need someone telling everyone their shit? Like, you know, or they're not being truthful. I was like, oh my God, everyone like wakes up in the morning with an inner battle. Like, I don't know anybody that tells me they wake up
like,
happy.
With all
you know?
Those things last year going on, like, well, I didn't really give much time to it because like, I hate negativity.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's just not good for anyone. But I do feel like, you can't judge someone who's not ready.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
totally.
There was a lot of people like pointing people out. And look, there was some shit that I was like, Jesus, like, you know, like they need to be called out for, like, that was just like, whatever.
Yeah.
But giving out to someone for, you know, not being real or whatever, it's just like, it's just unfair. Everyone's at different stages of their life.
I think that's true as well. And I felt like if something wasn't directly harming someone, I couldn't understand why it was being given out about. Do you know what I mean? If you were genuinely lying about an advertisement and you were making, like, that's very dodgy. I understand that. But there were certain things I was like, I don't think that's worth it. And I'm the type of person where I always put myself in other people's shoes. Like, even if someone's done something really bad to me, I'm so bad at, like, seeing the good. I'd be like, okay, but maybe this or that. And I'm always, like, worried. I'm like, maybe they're going through that. Or, like, I would never retaliate to someone and do something bad to someone because I'm like, oh, but they could be going through a really bad time. That's how I think as a person.
Exactly. That's how I remember last year being like, God, like, imagine having that much time to be so negative towards other people. Like, I feel so sorry for that person because they must have no life outside it. And I was like, imagine being that negative
and unhappy
but spending that much time even trying to be. I was just like, that is so sad, you know.
No, I agree with you as well. And I think, look, it had its place in some ways, and I know what you mean.
Definitely think, like,
people are more honest now.
Yeah, big time
they are.
But even I think it opened my eyes to, like, what the influencer world was like, because I think I sometimes, and anyone who knows me, I do live in a little bubble. You know that kind of way, like, as I am very much like, still have my you know, my closest friends from my first start. Like, I don't, like, go out to things, and, like, I very much, like, and I have a little bubble because, in a way, like, it's my way of, like, self-care.
Yeah, and staying grounded as well.
But it definitely opened my eyes to a lot of stuff that was going on, and I was like, whoa.
And I think it was good that, like, most people now understand about photoshopping and air. Like, I think all of us just presumed everybody knew about that already. Like, it wasn't a surprise to me. I was like, no, that's what happens.
Well, like, the thing of it is, I remember I used to do shoots, and a photo would come out of me, and I would know that what the photographer or whatever had literally cut half my leg off.
Stop.
And I'd be like, now you've given me this absolute pressure that I have to live up to this photo.
Yeah, that my leg needs to be half the size. Like,
my legs need to be half the size. And it was always my legs. And, like, I got this, developed such a bad relationship with my legs.
Oh my God.
Like, I used to, like, complain about my legs. I'd be doing anything, and I'd be like, my legs are so fat. My mum would be like, Roz,
they're not
legs, like your legs. You're, like, such a good cyclist. You're, like, so,
you're, like, so fit.
You're so fit,
so, like, athletic.
Can you not just see like the bright side that you've athletic legs?
Yeah.
And it was just this fact that, like, people would Photoshop me without any consent.
Just did it, like.
Yeah, and, like, even so, like, I look at photos and I'm like, oh my God, like, they remove, like, my little, like, mole on my face. So they do all these things, and I'm like, so
they're all of a sudden deciding what they think is, like, oh my God.
Yeah, and, like, I think that's why, like, I was so happy to do that. Irish Country Living cover.
I
last
love
year
that shoot.
Makeup free and Photoshop free, and I understand, look, that, you know, sometimes there's Photoshop used in shoots because the camera they're using is literally, like, magnifies every pore in your skin,
and to get rid of like shadows or like really get that.
I totally get why, but I think it's very important that at least they declare it.
Yeah, and that photo shoot was stunning, by the way. I literally was like, what the hell, like, no makeup. I was like, ah.
And you know what, it was the first shoot, because, like, I'm still very much have this attitude where, you know, I'll look a photo of myself and I'll never be like, God, I look great. I'll be like, oh geez, oh whatever, like, I'm, you know, that kind of way. But actually, when that photo, when that shoot came out, I was like, I was so happy. I was
so good.
I'm so happy. Like,
and I think it kind of
like
started
the
new
pressure,
era of Roz Purcell as well.
All that,
you know,
pressure is just gone. Like,
yeah, I love
and
that.
All I had to do was just show who I was.
And you're so young to have come to this conclusion already. I think, like, honestly, I think everyone's 20s, like, literally until their 30s, they get, and you're still, like, so young. You know, you're still really young, and you've gone through so much, and you've come out the other side.
I think I went through it, like, whilst being under a magnifying glass.
Yeah,
so,
and that's why you think.
Yeah. Definitely.
We're just coming to the end now. We'd literally could chat here forever. So I suppose, what do you want for yourself now in the next couple of years? I'm sure this is something you probably talk about, but
you know what, this is so strange because I always hate these questions, because I've definitely become one of those people that I live in the moment. I try not to stress about the future or worry about the past, and I definitely, when I'm doing something, I like at this podcast, I'm all yours. I'm not thinking
about
something else.
Yeah,
I've really developed this, and it was really hard because when you're going through any kind of disorder, being present is very difficult because you're obviously, you're always thinking about the future, or you're like contemplating looking back in the past.
Yeah.
And I truly am at the stage where I'm like, I'm so in the present. And in a way, it's good because I used to always worry about what I would do next. And I think a lot of people are always saying that, oh, especially in this job, journalists will be like, oh,
what's next?
What's going to be Roz in 5 years' time?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have never been able to plan what's going to be Roz, because this industry is always changing, and that's the one thing I love about it now.
Yeah.
Because I'm like,
I could be doing anything.
Yeah. I don't want to be doing the same thing every 5 years. Yeah. Like I'm living life once.
Yeah.
This isn't a dress rehearsal. Like I've one shot at it. Yeah. I want to do as many things as I can. Yeah. I don't care what it is. Like I don't care if it's like, but if people think it's a step down from what I'm doing now, like yeah. as long as I'm able to adapt and enjoy it. Like yeah. I used to always say when people said, what are you going to do in the next 3-5 years? I'd be like, okay, I need to think of like some business thing. But actually now, like I actually think I want to settle down, have kids.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. like actually just
totally
make sure,
different direction
like,
now.
The
yeah.
only important thing if you say, what's Roz in 5 years time? I'm healthy and all my family's healthy. Don't really care.
That's
about
all that matters. Yeah. What a good note to end yeah. on. Thank yeah. you so much for coming in.
So
and I think this is a really positive podcast. And what would you suggest for anyone who's maybe going through similar issues? Is there any websites they should check out or like anything like that maybe?
Yeah. So there's a great Irish website called bodywise.ie. Okay. And I know they offer a lot of kind of different help or different, you know, connections to get help. But definitely anyone who's listening who's kind of at the stage where they know that they have a bad relationship with their mm-hmm. body or food. Just what I can say is go to experts.
Yeah.
Create a team around you. Tell your family. And why I think telling your family is really important is accountability.
Yeah.
Because I know like telling my family that I was ready to get help, it was accountability to see.
You had to go and do it then.
I had to go and see through. And also if I was, it kind of gave them an allowance that if I was getting back into old behaviours, they could kind of call me out. And I know that sounds kind of bad, but once someone acknowledges
that,
you go, oh yeah, you're right. Yeah. I don't want to be
and
that
definitely
person.
Subscribe to Roz's podcast.
Thanks.
Bite Back. I love that you've spoken to actual professionals as well.
Yeah, big time.
So people can get kind of information from all different areas mm-hmm. as well. So yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks.